Hi guys, welcome. I can see your face, you're resisting the urge, you know, to say it back.
Even like that first time when you said hi guys, I was supposed to go. When you get hi guys, I was supposed to go hide you below. I see your own, I see my own.
Yeah.
That now.
Yeah, hi guys. If this is your first time of listening to this podcast, you are welcome home. So grab yourself a pillow by the door and join us by the still waters. As in this episode, our souls are going to be restored. Really, it's going to be restored. I have a wonderful podcaster with me on the couch, on the sofa. She's resting with us on the sofa. She's at the still waters with us today. And I would like to introduce her because I think you're the first female I'm having on my podcast ever.
Really?
Yes.
Give me an award.
Yes.
You should.
The word.
I know.
So, Oma should introduce herself. Did I say your name? Why did I say your name? Okay. Introduce yourself today. Let us say this is your first time you're having to meet with my audience. What would you say?
What would I say?
Yes.
I'd say hi, everyone. My name is Oma. And I'm resisting the
You're welcome.
Exactly. Okay, my name is Oma and I am a child of God.
Yes.
Of course.
Yes.
I am also a podcaster. I like to talk.
We like to talk. We like to talk too much.
And
I think we should stop here. Yeah. Just give surface level stuff.
Yes, because there's definitely a lot more, but yeah. Okay, I like mangoes. I think I should say that. Yesterday, I was thinking to myself, so God gives us his son. Then he gives us mangoes.
Yes.
Then he gives us carrots.
You know, there was this unsolicited. I bought Hobnobs and Hollandia yogurts one day. And I was like, let me just try this combo. And as I ate it, I cried. Like, you know when you eat something so good? Like, tears were rolling down my eyes and I'm like, what is this divine meal? Like, it was really divine for me at that point.
My artist then like,
who knows, then they would have not complained, but the children of Israel were too, they would have complained. So if we're giving thanks for things like that, I think that should fall under the list. Mangoes, see, and hobnobs and the Hollandia.
And then God gives people in mind, like, the brilliance to manufacture Tom Brown and oats.
And then you are in this field.
And then you wake up in the morning and you go, I don't think, and you don't think, what does you want from the Lord?
Like,
because you can't say you want him. He has given you himself.
He has given you. He has given you himself. He has given his son, his spirit, his word.
I saw this guy walking and then I just asked him, is that mango? And then he goes, do you want me? Like, I was saying this in the house. And I was like, yes. So he gives me two. And I'm like, thank you so much. And he adds two. And I'm thinking to myself,
like,
mango.
Mango.
No, God is faithful. I'm just, if you're listening to me right now, and you, there's so many things
to be grateful for. Like, there's a lot of things to be grateful.
Are you kidding me? Like, you sit down and eat carrots, and you don't think about the
Don't mind us, guys. Don't mind us. So, how have you been resting? And let me. I think I should rearrange my words. Oma is busy. She's quite busy. For her to take out time to be here, it took a lot from her time schedule. So I'm asking her this question with all sincerity because I understand the gravity of this situation now. She has surrender coming up, and if you don't know what surrender is, it's a gathering. I'm trying to gather my choice of words today. It's a lot of things. I was trying to gather my choice of words. It's a gathering of a gathering that God puts, and people would be gathered at the feet of Jesus in surrender. The name of this the event is surrender. So for those of you who are in your city that would like to attend it live, yes, on Saturday. I am sorry, like, I know I did not even weigh that, but I think we'll just put it out there like that still. But it is on Saturday the episode is going to be released on. But anyhow, Anyways, you can stream it live, though. I think there should be like another, yes, a live stream, so you can do so to check the rest podcast on Instagram to know more. So yeah, how have you been resting?
I have been resting. I was speaking to someone today, and I was telling them that I did not have as many mental breakdowns as I expected to have planning the first event. And in fact, at a point, I was even too relaxed. Like, I needed to be shaking up. Yeah. Like, yo, there's stuff to do. You can't just relax. I had to. I needed that shaking up. Like, that's how relaxed I was. But then, as about, I think today is Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday.
As about, I think Monday, I woke up and I started to feel overwhelmed. Like, it was just very crazy. It was so crazy. That's when I sent you that elite
thing.
And I was just there on the floor. I came back from the bed. I just laid on the floor and I just started to cry. Then I was like, I was feeling like it was that unworthiness that, thank you, man. And there and there, like, sadness was trying to sit, but it couldn't. It was like this wrestle, this wrestling, like, in my spirit and all. And then I started to play a Stephanie Gretzinger song. Then I turned to a third Sam again. I'm beginning with this Sam.
Next capsule.
Which journey?
Yeah, we took 22 Sam. Yeah.
And then I was reading through. And as I stayed there, then God was just asking me, did you call the people? He asked me a lot of questions and all my answers were new. So he was like, then why are you worried?
Yeah.
Then he was like, just don't do that. Then I was like, I felt like he was gambling to let me, to give me the privilege to like partner with him on something. Like, I feel like it was a gamble. It was like,
Yes.
And then after a while, I just come out of that place. It was so quick. So you know how that you reach out to someone and you're down. By the time you send the voice notes, you're already okay.
You're like, so why did I do this?
Yeah. So now you have to go back to that place. You have to appreciate them.
Yeah.
Not really. I'm fine now.
Yeah.
But I have to appreciate them really. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
He's like, this to me, this is so helpful.
Yeah.
So I was hoping your voice note was not going to be like that. Then I'll have But then your voice note was not like that. Because it was like, that was part of the voice was like, it is normal to feel this.
Yes.
What you will not let happen to you is to let it overwhelm you, let it trap you, let you sit there and not do anything. And so, like, when the enemy came from my mind, he literally just yanked me out of that. He's like, stand up, Jay. Like, even if you're like that, when I was done,
get
it was like,
stop.
Clean your tears, sit up,
start running.
The sound guy, so I'm actually well, and like this. Whole thing, this whole planning and anything has taught me a lot about myself,
yes,
about God, about people, so
about people. I can see the emphasis on your face when you say about people,
but it's just beautiful.
I think what is lovely about when God lets us see things is that the Bible tells us you would not let his beloved see corruption. He lets you see things and see how you are frail on your own.
Yeah.
And it is like an assignment or a test to you to see how much you need God. I think that's the journey we are going to be on still. Because if you want to wrestle with God, you would not want to do it, but I'm just putting it out. If you dare to want to, he would deal with you. And I'm saying this with a straight face. I'm not joking. He will deal with you. Because we have to come to the end of ourselves to start to live. I was having a conversation with the Holy Spirit yesterday. Yesterday was Tuesday. I don't know when this episode is going to be out on Saturday. But I was walking and he was overwhelming my thoughts. Like, we're just having conversations on the souls of men. Of how we have been gifted with the gift of being able to desire things and even achieve and accomplish those things. Like how I can set my heart that I would get a car in the next 2 weeks. And because of the God-given potentials I have been given, I would accomplish that thing. What we think of is, when we think of these things, we think of it as in it pertains to ourselves as believers. But God has given himself to everybody. I think why he calls, the Bible tells us that he who comes to him, he would not wise cast out. It's because he has given a part of himself in us. That when we come to him, it is like a seal or a, like, what's that word? There's something that I want to use, like a jointness, if there's a word like that. We are holding hands with him now. And because he has put, when he created us in the very beginning, he created man, he breathed his spirit, which gave life to the body of the man. So it's because he has given it, that's why we can desire anything. So you can desire financial needs because he has given it already. We can never desire something that God has not given. All we are going to desire is what God has given. So we can never get so overzealous or over good, quote unquote, more than God, to outdo him. You want to outdo the doer. You cannot. So I think it's like a teaching moment always to see that there are treasures that he has hidden. But it takes us to reverence him, to stay under his shadow and learn about God. We're not learning about anything else. We're just learning about God, and it is beautiful. We're not learning about the deep mysteries of how to arise to the third heavens. We're just learning about God in its simplicity. It's the gospel washing us over and over again. So in that whole sense, I have urges. I have desires in my heart. But as we said before we came to this recording, God is worthy. God is worthy enough for me to cast all those things at his feet because he cares. Not because he's going to do what I want him to do. It's because he cares for me. That's why I will cast my cares upon Jesus. Yeah. It's not because he's going to give me $1 million. It's because he cares. That is what matters at the end of it all. The presence is more tangible. The presence of God, I'm saying now, that's what I mean, is more tangible than every money you would ever get, every physical, materialistic thing. It is more better. And whilst I was working yesterday, I just got to learn something, which was we have a lot of problems in our walk with God because we have not learned the beauty of resting in God. Like, we want to do God's work, and it is beautiful that people get so fired up for God that they want to go to extents where they are losing themselves in the act of service. Like, I want to do God's work that I forget to have a walk with God. People get so burnt up with that fire. Like, okay, let me go and do pastoring. And you forget that you were not called to pastoring. You were called to be under his feet first. Then pastoring comes into place because it is under his feet you even get that pastoring. So you get so zealous and so carried away with the walk with God that you forget to have a walk with him completely. Now, I think that's the wave we are into now. And it was...
Yeah. That's...
Yeah. You see people on... Christians on the social media now, everybody is outwardly calling out heresy. It is not bad. But haven't we seen that that's a problem? That it is a constant calling out of heresy and the gospel is not preached. So everybody is...
We're reacting. So until Satan makes a move.
Yes.
We're just the way. What are you doing?
We are discerning Satan now instead of being under the word of God and learning what the word of God has pertaining us now. So we are more, it's like we are more like investing ourselves into the works of Satan. But he has been defeated at the cross already. If there's anything he wants, it's for us to be in this globe where we are more bothered of him, more bothered about what he's doing, and we are not watching out for God. Because our eyes ought to be on him.
Yeah.
What happened to Peter was because he took his eyes off Jesus. That's when he began to sink. So when we are looking everywhere, but not on Jesus, we would continue sinking. And to an extent, you think you're floating. You think you are safe until you hit the last depth of this. When there is no visible hand to come and save you, then that's when you really know that you are in the pit of darkness now. But God forbid anybody ever gets there, where you lose sight of God to the parts or to the point where there is nothing for you to hold on to than regret, pain, hopelessness. Because those are the schemes that the devil brings. Everything that has to do with God is life-giving. So you have to be hopeful. You ought to be hopeful. You ought to be life-giving because you are a vessel. He's giving, it's like him extending his hand towards you, and he's passing every of his traits to you now because you're a vessel, you're a conduit of the Holy Spirit. So I just had that at the back of my heart to just give out, because rest is, everybody's talking about rest now, but only few people talk about rest as it pertains to God. Like how it begins with God.
In fact, there is this other side to rest that lately God has talked to me about.
Mm.
And it was that he doesn't just want to give us rest.
Mm.
He also wants to find a resting place in us.
Yes.
So that it is like the two sides of the coin. Because we are quickly, I think what I'm trying to say is how that now I'm realizing that I'm speaking about this.
Yes.
We are so focused on ourselves.
Yeah.
Even some worship songs,
huh.
I'm not speaking about him. It's almost like, you know, God has, you know, how we have it, our purpose is to please him.
Yes.
It's almost like it's been so told that his purpose is to please us.
Yes.
You know, you get what I'm saying, right?
I guess.
It's almost point. Like the purpose of God is to make us happy,
huh.
Is to please us. So as much as God not just can do things for us, but wants to do things for us, Everything was created for his pleasure.
Yes.
So that's why we can't even have things in our own terms. So that while we need to find rest in God, we must also know that he wants to find rest in us, because it's easy for us to come and get and get and get from him. But then the moment he asks, we're shooting back like, that's not what they told me when I was coming. Like, you know,
yes. Like, they did not tell me this one.
You're getting like, okay, don't worry. This training is free. After the training, they're like, come on, paper, give us that. Nobody told us that. Yeah. I know that kind of value is. I remember. Something happened, and when I was coming back, one of those days, before I came down to Joss,
yes,
I was just like, okay, I told you this ministry thing never. I told you I'm not doing, like, that's what I said.
Yeah,
so this thing is tasking, I'm not doing.
Mm.
I literally felt like he didn't say anything to me. Mm. Now I think about that, I thought he was, I felt like he was just smiling, like, he never said anything. I was like, I don't think I want to do it again. I don't think I want to do it again.
Yeah.
And then, now that I think of it, it's just how we are more willing to take from him than we need to give to him. That we are willing to give to him. So, we have a lot of Christians living on their own terms. Like, it's the same thing that Adam and Eve tried to do in the Garden of Eden,
yes.
Where they try to lay God. themselves.
Mm.
Now people are worshipping, they're worshipping things though.
Yes.
In the name of worshipping God.
Hmm.
Some people are, I remember listening to someone, and the man of God goes, to not make an idol out of clarity or more, that thing stop.
Wow. I've never heard that before.
And it was like, yo.
Wow. Wow.
Yo.
I think that's scary.
Yeah. And it was like he was explaining how that sometimes you just need to be courageous and step out. But we sit down there and we're like, God, I want to be clear. Sometimes it's almost like he starts even worship the idea of, like, if it's not clear, I'll know. Rather than if it's not God,
yes,
not move. It's like we want, and that's one will not clarity. The other time, like, it was like, see, on this personal matter, just know that I'm not gonna say anything. Just move with my voice as it comes.
Yes.
Just like, I won't show you the whole staircase, but there's just like enough light for each step.
Yeah.
So I remember during that season of my life, it was around 200 level 3.
Yeah.
this guy came to me, this motivational guy. The guy talks like a motivational speaker. Like by default, speaks like an inspirational. Like,
it's giving like, out of the abundance of your heart.
Every time he tries to talk to you, you guys are gisting. Like, it's not like that really, you said to me, right? And this is what they already speak. What you I don't know. I was like, he had this. I'm always trying to inspire somebody's vibe. Like, you can tell him, you know, lately, I'm thinking. You know?
Yeah.
Think, I'm just like, I don't mean to learn.
Not everything is that deep.
You get? It's not that deep.
Yeah.
So he comes to me and he's like, so, Oma, you know this and that. So I was just running all those lines. Yeah, this and that. And
then, those lines.
So, like, what's your 5-year plan? Could I laughed. It was, he asked me that I realized that.
Yeah. Like,
it's just like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do now. So I'm like,
yes, yes.
That's literally how my life has been for a while. So, so that I don't drift from what I was trying to say. We must also look to, like you said about the Samaritan woman.
Yes.
To also offer him water. To also offer him water. It's crazy because as I'm talking about, as I'm speaking with you now, I'm scrolling through Instagram in my mind. And I'm thinking of how many people are coming up as I'm Christian.
Yes.
I'm Christian. There's Christian influencers
everywhere.
Like even you're listening to us now and we are posing as Christian podcasters.
Yeah.
Almost telling you what to do and what to not do. And there's you know, there's just like everybody.
Yes.
But then when you go and look at your page, you can't reconcile.
Like the waters can mix. They are not holding hands.
It's like, I watched this video again. He used to go to brothels to go and like evangelize to people. She was dressed like that. Well, I went to the comment section. Like, nobody had a problem with that. Just like, let me say her name is Nicole or some sister Nicole in the trolls. Like, yeah, you gotta reach them. And like, how about the things that God wants from us to?
Yes.
Apart from what we want from Him. How about what he wants from us?
How about that?
How about that? Do you get?
Like, yes.
How about the things that he, because, and it's, and it's, and it's, and it's, and I think it's highly what determines the, where our heart is with him. Because scripture says that where your treasures are, that's like where your heart is, your heart's going to be. So one of the things I've noticed in my own work is that God is always seeking to be the treasure. So anything that looks like it is competing for that space in your heart, even if it's people, he comes for it, because you shall have no other gods beside me. It has always been like that. So when any other thing comes to compete, he comes knocking. He comes knocking. At the point, I feel like, are you always making us let go? Like, not too tired.
It's like something else. Like
you're always having to. You know, you speak to your really big brother. He's always giving. So God's having to make me like, yes. Because it is, we are constantly being transformed into his image. And we can get so used to getting things from him that we forget that it's a mutual relationship.
Yes.
We're also supposed to give to him. So like when I see it on IG, sometimes I just get that. One time I even got overwhelmed by him. I was like, God, it's looking like this thing is not really. Because some people even start out that way.
Yes.
Then the next thing, you know, for females now, for instance, they start out covered.
Yeah.
Then it's like, as they rise in influence, their clothes reduce. And she's using. And then the next thing they grow is. Yes. I mean, God says they had such an overflogged defense.
You get me?
Right.
Like, God, give me something new.
Like, what do you have in your. In your
excuses, your book of excuses.
Like, okay, flip. What's the only thing here? Wow.
I think when I think of that, there is something that I ask every time somebody wants to wage war against dressing covered. Because you read the book of, I think it should be Timothy, and Paul was exhorting them and he said, ladies ought to dress modest. Yes, thank you. And you are seeing how the Bible takes out time to talk about how women are divine.
Yeah.
You when I read the book of Esther, it's just giving this whole picture of a godly woman,
yeah.
A woman who has the fear of God locked up in her heart. When it comes to excuses about how, when people out there in the internet are making excuses about how modesty is an issue of the heart, then I might as well say that Christianity is just an issue of my wicked heart, because we forget that our heart is deceitful and we take scriptures out of context.
I mean, you can usually mix scriptures into anything.
Yeah, I think, but you see how it's an issue now, because if you read that part in Samuel where it was God speaking to Samuel, telling him that us, we look at the appearance of men, but God sees the heart. It was not speaking of it as in how they were dressed. Yes, Samuel saw the other brothers of David, and they looked good. They looked kingly, quote unquote. But that was not, as you said something beautiful, which was scripture, which is where your heart is. That is where your treasures are. That's where your heart is going to be. David's heart, even though he was in the wilderness tending to sheep or in the forest with sheep, was with the Lord. That is where his heart was with God.
You read the Psalms and you see it.
You feel it. Like you,
I stay on my bed, like I think about.
Yeah.
It's giving. Aww.
like giving, I'm madly in love with you.
Yes.
That kind of thing.
And if ever you die.
Like you write love letters and you just throw it anywhere. And you see how his heart was crazy in love with God. Let us think of royalty now, because we have painted the picture of royalty. Esther and David were royalties. You see how even in our modern day royalty settings, royalties don't expose their bodies. Queen Elizabeth, when she was alive, did not dare to show skin, quote unquote.
It's like just a little
skin.
If you want to go down, I'll tell you that. But the body is not even yours. Is it the temple?
Yes.
The Lord. It's like,
yeah.
You come to okay, now this is temple.
Mm.
Think of church.
Yeah.
It's like you come to my church and telling me to pull down the curtains. It's not your church.
Yes.
So like when you go, can't I just show? I'm like, well, it's not your own now. So let's just go and ask the person that owns it. Then let's go and ask him. Yes. That's the one he will say. And we know what he has said.
Because he has said it in the word.
Yes.
He has said everything. You know how I think this thing affects the flow of worship too. Because when you're opinionated to the body that is not even yours to begin, people in the body are saying it is their body, their choice. And we have established, even scripture has said it, the body was made for the Lord.
Some people go, I stopped saying where was your comfortable with if I don't know the person's stand on modesty. if I don't know your stand on modesty,
yes,
I clearly have to go, let it shall be modest. Or yeah. I keep it in there. But let it shall be modest. Because what some people are comfortable with is wild.
It's crazy. Like, I go on IG and I get happy when I see Christians that are vocal about God. And I'm like, oh, you get...
they're always spitting facts.
Yes.
Like, I know, I'm always, like, the words in their mouth is just...
like fire.
Like, it's light. And then it makes sense now why, when Jesus was tempted, the devil also came with scriptures.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Because he can deceive us to make us feel like... you can do scriptures with your brain,
yes,
to an extent,
but
then of course it will not be life if it's not spiritual.
It can never be life.
That one you cannot fake it.
You can. I think even it applies to 1 Timothy 4, where Paul was warning him concerning things that were happening at that time, that people, the Spirit expressively warns that in latter days people would depart from the faith. And they will give themselves. It does not say the teachings will come and carry them.
Give them.
They would give themselves into demonic teachings. Teachings that pertain to themselves. That is why. And Holy Spirit, thank you. You know how it's... the truth of the matter is how... whatever you're looking for, you would find it. Whatever you're looking for in God, you would find it. So if I'm looking for prosperity teachings in God, I would find the teacher that would suit that.
Yeah.
Because God's word said that they have given themselves into it. So are you under a church now and they are preaching you everything you want to hear? You go back and you're like, the sermon was fire. Why? Because they taught you about yourself, not about the risen King.
You know, when I went to town and I saw people who were like Christian influencers, and I saw them on camp, and I went to their IG, and I'm like, okay, okay, because I didn't know where to start from. Like, the immodesty, it's almost like we are even desensitized towards it.
Yeah.
You know the way you would normally see something like, hey, take that after my face. Yeah. After a while, you just go, can it just not be? Let it just be fast.
Yes.
You don't.
You're condoling it.
Beginning to get.
Yes.
You're getting. So, the same intensity you'd have come at, what is this?
Mm.
The next time you're like, this world sham.
It's as if we are now condoling with them.
I feel like we're trying so hard to let people know that Christianity is formed.
Yes.
That's nobody's calling. Like, oh, Oma, your calling is simple. Go and let these people of the world know
that Jesus is formed. And we try to explain it.
I saw a reel that my sister sent me a reel one time. I told her this to me. It's insulting to my faith. Because it was. But it was so offensive to me. Because the reel brought Jesus, God, and the devil on the same pedestal.
Yeah.
Like, the person, like, God was trying to correct him about something and all that stuff. You know, so the person and the Lord rebuked the devil and told him to shut up and everything like that. Then now the Lord asks this person to do something, the person doesn't want. And, you know, I don't know, the person threw God's word back at him. And God is not your mate. God is not your G, per se.
Yeah.
God is God. You know, I'm afraid of how quickly reverence for God is slipping out of our hearts in this generation.
Yes.
I get scared. Even me, sometimes I have to remind myself. I get scared. You hear people talk about God and there's no reverence. There's no reverence. There's no, you know, that fear, that. I think it's because of the book I'm reading, but like the way everyone like hallowed the voice of God when he heard it, this is the voice of God. You don't.
I'm reminded of Isaiah 6, where you hear the Bible say that on the day that King Uzziah died, he saw the Lord. And when he saw the Lord, what was his response when the angels were singing? I'm a man of unclean lips.
And I dwell amongst the people.
Yes. You see how his notion, his inclination was to confess. Because no one sees the Lord and remains the same. This is God who is beyond that TikTok reel. He sits above the earth. He spreads the heavens. Every single time, he's above everything.
God is God.
Like, if not for anything, that should be what we should think of. That he speaks a thing and you cannot refuse what God says. Like, you cannot refuse. Like, you can refute the words, but you cannot say it is a lie. You can say it with your mouth, because the Bible tells us that a fool says in his heart that there is no God. But you cannot stand against God. That's the thing. So we have this picture in our hearts because the fear of God is as vapor in our hearts. It has left our hearts. People are in the churches, but they don't know what it feels like to fear God.
Do you know that? Okay. There's this very serious culture of people operating their phones in church.
Yes.
Facebook, WhatsApp.
Yes.
TikTok sometimes. Or people like making videos of worship.
Snapchat videos.
Yes.
Yes.
And then I asked the question that was asked to me. And my father taught me about it. He goes, so imagine that Jesus was seated there in service with you. Would you bring out your phone? And yeah, like, that's literally the image that comes to my mind. And then what I concluded is because we're not truly coming to the Lord. Because if we are truly coming to Him, is it in the midst of worship that you've been When Isaiah saw the Lord, his reaction was, I'm undone.
Yes.
I just imagine that he was, I'm undone. Then he brings us his phone to do what?
Like, I cannot process the emotion now. Like, what would you start doing?
Yet. So if it is truly the Lord that we come to, there's a level of reverence you have, even to God. So some people now think, you know, that was my growing concern with excessive reels that they were gradually taking away the fear of God.
Yes.
Reels are making Jesus look like a cool dude.
Yes.
It was gradually taking it. So now people are more comfortable to say that the Lord told them a thing and they did not do it.
Yes.
And then all of us,
yes,
you too. And then we don't realize that we are sitting, like we're whining and turning on disobedience. It's disobedience.
It's a dream of demons.
And literally. Disobedience will not disobedience goes unpunished.
Mm. Yes.
So I had, at the point, somehow I had stopped digesting some of those views as normal.
Mm.
Because before you knew, like, an ideology.
Yes.
I think it's just that reverse thing that is on my heart.
Mm.
Like, do we even revere God anymore?
I think there was something I was telling the Lord, which was, he should keep my heart in the fear of himself. Because it's easy to get blown away with what is happening in the world now. You hear people, as you said, speaking unto Jesus as if he is their neighbor, like, who they have seen finish.
I can't just reconcile. That is just, it just keeps bugging my mind. How can you come to church? You've been on social media throughout the whole day. How can you come to church and then you are sitting? I went to one church, like, the lady that started her name, she had finished this baba, she was washing and worshiping. Mm. There's almost like, it's almost like we're coming for a Christian, I don't know, is it
concert?
Christian? And like, maybe it's just another social gathering.
Yes.
And then after that, we're done with the first session.
Next.
Then she sits down and then the pastor is like preaching and she's like scrolling through Facebook. And man, I'm just like, there are times where I catch myself about it. I'm like, the service is almost over now. And it's almost like that. And I don't want to get used to it. Because there's a way you can, like Isaiah said, he dwells among a people.
Yes, yeah.
There's a way you would dwell amongst them that you no longer realize that you have become like them.
It's like, as I said, it's like the fear of God is like water. And somebody punctured the depths of that bottle that the water is inside. And it's washing away. It's going. I'm thinking and I'm like, what if truly we had the fear of God in our hearts? Let's use the church in Nigeria now. Most of the things we are doing, we would not be doing it. Like, seeing God as an aesthetic would not be done. We see God as...
Like, this Christianity is a trend now.
Yeah. And hashtag, a popular hashtag.
It's a trend now.
Yes.
It's a trend.
Hmm.
Like, people are hopping on this trend called Christianity.
I saw this reel where this girl was being vocal about how Christians were ostracizing a particular church. I'm going to leave, it's a popular church in Nigeria, where their pastor invited secular artists to come and perform. I'm going to call it performance because that's what
they
did. So they came and they performed, and the girl was like, so Christians are calling them bad. Do they think if Jesus was there, he was going to say the same thing to these people? And on the surface level, she looks emotionally appealing. But until we see what God's word has to say pertaining his altar. I mean, you brought demons to sing praises to God on his altar.
Literally, the prayer of a sinner is an abomination.
Then you are singing. You are singing.
I just never, like, we can't serve God on our own terms.
Yes.
And if we really want to follow the terms of God, a lot of what we're doing, like, today you post your favorite, there's this guy on IG, like, he's popular and all.
Yeah.
So, I think it was Neil's birthday that she was now recounting his favorite music and all.
Mm.
He preaches in their church.
Yeah.
His views are always talking about God. Then he was listing his favorite artists.
Mm.
He had gospel artist category. Mm. That means there was another category. Do you get?
Yeah.
Like, he first said this first time, and I said, then for gospel artists.
Mm. I think most of these things just streams up or it stems from that we don't think God is enough. So we are trying to create other avenues to please and soothe ourselves either than God's way. So we don't feel like the songs offered to God in worship is because it does not please us.
Have you noticed like the trend of how it's almost like new and upcoming songs are trying so hard to give us replacement for worldly music?
Yes.
Like it's like, you get what I'm saying? I had read it in Jackie's Giggle of God, and she was like, how people are not letting go of idols. It's like they are replacing idols. So it's like, I take this out to replace it with something else. Not like I let go of it completely. So it's like, it was just like, I saw any reaction matches with Satan.
Yes.
Like, oh, so you want to be able to do this kind of thing?
I would do it. Like, Beyonce.
Have the Jesus version of it.
Beyonce sings a song, and all of a sudden, there is a mix of.
Yeah, there's a Christian version
of it. And you hear people, I hear that people sing these songs in church.
Yeah.
They sing it on their altar.
Yes.
Because we have lost what it felt, or it, because it was a feeling to even begin with. The fear of God was a feeling. It was not something that was locked up as a treasure in our hearts. The fear of God is a gift. To be able to reverence God wholly, because God is holy. God is separate. In his dealings with, the Bible tells us something. He knows no other God. He's only the person that is enthroned on the highest majesty, and he's not about to share his throne with any man.
With anybody, with anything.
With any music, with anything that looks godly.
Do you know that there are times when, even after I notice I'm beginning to really, really be into a certain kind of, a certain person, I didn't realize what he was doing that time. Next now, when I wake up that morning, I know that I'm deleting this song. And there are gospel songs.
Yeah.
And you tell me, clear your playlist, leave only this.
Mm.
Clear. So, remember, ask all those funny questions like, but what if the world doesn't have this and that and this and that? Well, if we just know where your heart is, because if you are actively seeking to please God, if that is what your heart is focused on, there are questions you won't ask.
There are questions you would not.
There are even good things that you won't do because it will tamper with the fear of God. It was Pastor Lawrence that was saying that any reel, any video, any song, anything that tampers with the fear of God in your life is after your life. Because one day you will look back.
Yes.
And God will say to you, and it won't mean anything.
We treat the voice of God as in it is another.
So somebody commented, sitting in front of the camera. So the other day, the Holy Spirit said to me, you're like half naked. And it's crazy because now, everything you say, you have to explain without looking judgmental.
Yes.
Meanwhile, there were people in the faith in those days that Paul told them that they shouldn't even greet these people.
Yes.
Shouldn't even greet them. So we want to apply that kind of thing to testing people. I imagine what will be left. Or like, it's just crazy. We have to have the fear of God again. Like, even as I'm speaking, I'm asking myself.
I'm searching to.
Yeah, like, it needs to be something that is
established. Like, solely rooted.
Our God is holy. I remember someone was like, and okay, well, it's not usually the idea that when we're only talking this modesty thing, we compare Christians to Muslims.
Yes.
They dress well and stuff. Because these people are.
Yeah.
They don't have the life of Christ.
Yes.
So they are not worthy comparisons.
Actually,
right? Yes. But then one time I was thinking about it and I go, they even have a sense of the fact that even if it's in pretense that they are being covered up, it's because they realize that there is something about their faith that should be portrayed in that light.
Yes.
We don't even care.
You don't care.
We don't.
Because our hearts never loved God to even begin with.
I think the problem is with the kind of gospel that is besought.
Yes. If they preach Jesus to you as somebody that just came to fix you so that you would be the same person.
Then Jesus is your therapist and it's not there. He's Lord.
He's Lord. If only we knew that truth, that Jesus, beyond him being the elder brother he is and being a friend, he is Lord. And there's something I read in the Bible, which in the book of Revelation, where it says that it is who the Lord loves that he rebukes. And we are seeing rebuke in the church now as in something that we are not meant to do. You go on the social media platforms and you're seeing, maybe you see if you were maybe a man of God, outrightly rebukes his audience or one of his sheep. And people in the comment section have thoughts.
People have opinions about everything.
The black, if I was the one, I would have left the church. Why would he see that thing? Forgetting that even the same Bible that we read tells us that open rebuke is more better than closed love. That lie that you lie to yourself, that okay, I'll tell him this thing after, so that other people would not look at him bad. Let me think of what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. Why is it that Peter did not take them to the silent?
Let me tell you this thing.
Yeah.
It's not so.
You would have not done this thing like this now. There's something that the Bible still tells us, is that when it happened, it was the fear of the Lord fell greatly upon the church. Like, they reverenced God so much.
So you see how it is sometimes, or oftentimes, what the word of God has to say or has said is contrary to our flesh, and we hate it.
Yeah.
Because the truth is that you were never living for the spirit to even begin with. It comes to expose the fact that you are in the flesh, and you are meant to not live by the flesh but by the spirit. Because if you live by the flesh, it is death. If you live by the spirit, it is life. So I think that's the crux of what is happening or what is going on, that the fear of God is not held in high esteem as it ought to be held. When we hear God's voice, it's like it's we have started desacralizing it. It is losing its, it cannot lose it, but we are in our minds, in our heads, we are trying to dumb it down.
Flip a secret thing.
Yeah.
It's like how does the king in Daniel's time,
yeah,
took the cup to the temple and wanted to take wine.
Yes.
We're doing like similar things. Mm. We're doing similar things. I know the thing about like where your heart's, your treasure is.
Mm.
It's hitting me again now that indeed where we spend most of our time and our attention, mm, we give most time and attention to, we definitely have our hearts.
Yes.
So I could spend my whole time on Pinterest checking out modest styles. Yeah, they could even be modest.
Yeah.
But I do that to the extent that I become just so conscious,
mm,
of my appearance that my heart just goes to what I look like.
Yes.
Outside, mm, more than, because you'd see that in the admonishment that Paul gave to women, how they should dress. He laid emphasis on, he didn't say don't look beautiful,
mm,
but he just laid emphasis on the fact that a meek and a quiet spirit is even more beautiful.
Yes.
On how that, how you look on the inside is even more beautiful. But you know how we're in a music, maybe I don't know what he's saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we made fun of that, but gradually, that's why there's so much transformation, this and that, and that. It shows where our hearts truly are beginning to go towards. And I've seen God purposely withhold things from me. And then later I'll find out that it was because he didn't want me to find those things as treasures.
Yes.
So any other thing now becomes a struggle. I notice it. And then I have to run back to him. So that I constantly am reminded.
Yeah. He's a treasure.
He is the treasure. So wherever our treasures are, that's it. So we're not spending time with him enough.
Yes.
And time is like the most prized treasure for every human being.
Yes.
Because it's something that money cannot buy. Per se.
Yeah.
No, it can't.
Yeah.
Money cannot recover the time and everything. So
yes.
We spend our time doing people, friends, reels.
Yeah.
God, social media. God, deliver us.
Deliver us.
Deliver me.
I think it's as innocent as my own is, there are apps I cannot be on. Like, for instance, now I cannot, the rule for my heart is that I cannot be on TikTok. I cannot have the TikTok app on my phone more than one day. I come, I do what I'm meant to do, and I leave the app. Because there's this dopamine feeling it infuses in everything you're doing. Let me watch this video. It looks funny. Watch. And you have consumed about 100 reels. And let us recount, you have consumed. That means your eyes which is the lamp of your heart or the lamp of your body, has seen all these things and taken mark of it, because you cannot deceive your heart. You cannot deceive your, you can, the heart can deceive you, but you cannot deceive your heart. So when you consume ungodly reels, ungodly things, your heart has been placed into that places. So it has collected, it has absorbed everything, because your heart absorbs. It absorbs all this news and it keeps it. So when times come when you are meant to transcend, they are like weight upon you. That's why constantly he calls us to be with him. Yeah. In being with him, you are being washed.
That's the word that came to my heart. Literally, it's like this washing up.
Yeah.
And it's like, because these things we consume change our appetite.
Yeah, yes.
So after a while, you notice, you think the Bible is becoming boring? It's because your appetite has changed.
Mm.
So, and it takes a lot to change appetite. So usually at the beginning, from my own experience, I noticed that you have that initial resistance.
Mm.
My appetite has gone off 2 hours.
Yeah.
Like, Lord. Mm. After a while, like, after 10 minutes.
Yes.
And then I'm on one day.
Mm.
Days. But after him, I was on WhatsApp for 8 hours.
Mm.
Jesus. I was like, eh? Like, I literally wake up. The moment I wake up, the first thing I need to close my WhatsApp.
Mm.
And I didn't realize. And it wasn't so from the beginning.
Yes.
But my app, these things, they literally change our appetite.
Mm.
After you are, you no longer desire the word. You desire other things.
Yes.
You desire. Sometimes, the thing that contending with your time with God is sermons.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I'm being so careful because so you're like, it's almost like every sermon is like shorthouse goals.
God.
Like, I don't want to hear what you're, let me just.
Yes.
It can be anything.
And what you're trying to say, I think what I'm holding on to is, they can look like godly distractions. Yeah, godly distractions. Like, let's take for instance, you are growing in Christ and you have surrounded yourself with so much sermons that you are getting the word of God from somebody else, forgetting that God invites all of us to be with him. Not to be with him. It's not Moses again being the mediator. He calls here, Jesus has torn the veil, so you can go to obtain grace and mercy. Not that you have to tell somebody to obtain grace and mercy for you. You are going before God because he sees you. That is what is important. Well, you cloud your head and it looks godly. You know every sermon. You know how this pastor preaches. You know every word he says, word to word, what she says, word to. Do you know God's word? What he has said pertaining to you? What he's screaming into your ear constantly? And because you have numbed him out, you have sidelined him, you don't even know what he feels like. So you are hearing him as in how you would hear your favorite preacher. That is where it has gotten to an extent. So even when I even listened, there was a point where I used to listen to preachers, and to a point, not every, just a certain preacher, and the Polish preacher is like, he did not even make me realize it. Unconsciously, he changed my taste. So I started desiring the word of God more. It was beautiful. This man preaches with all, he's zealous for the Lord. He's burning for God. It is not bad. But when you're trying, the thing is that he would never let us make an idol of somebody.
Yes.
We have to glorify God because that's the reason why we are made for. So he just took me out of it. And I found out that it had been like over 6 months and I've not listened to this person. Again, he's not bad. He speaks the truth of God's word with a burning heart.
Do you really swear?
Yeah.
Because for me, it usually happens with both sermons and then with worship ministers.
Yeah.
If I'm hooked on to somebody.
Mm.
For life.
Yeah.
If you stay there.
Mm.
And stay there. And then like you said, you just notice.
Mm.
There's a change somewhere.
Yes.
You just got. For me, I just start listening to somebody else.
Mm.
And after a while, I just notice that.
There's something. Yes.
From the time I came to prayer and the Lord goes, just put up the sound.
Mm.
Don't put up. Don't leave everything. Mm. Just
me and you. Yes.
And I think it's just that our hearts stay in that place where we are constantly seeking the Lord. Indeed.
We are in
constantly reaching out for him.
Without saying we would get anything in return. Because he's the reward.
Seeking his heart. I think if we bring that into every area of our lives, it should take our eyes off from ourselves.
Yeah.
And would see, you see, we'll find ways to please him if that's what he wants to do.
Truly, you would.
Like, I don't want, well, we are already on it.
Yes, we have climbed the table.
But using his modesty table. I think of it as, if Paul said, if me, eating of me,
yes,
you make my brother stumble, and you stop eating it. He didn't say, okay, remember, let me just eat that part. You stop eating the meat.
Yeah.
I mean, if God cannot trust that you can surrender your wardrobe choices to him,
how much more?
How can he entrust nations? How can he entrust? He won't. At this point, you're just still running. I want to, this is what I want to do.
Yes.
Versus walk all those ways to wear. I mean, all of us start off from that place.
Yeah.
But after a while, it is expected that your walk with God should reflect in everything, including your dressing. I mean, I don't like to say it a lot of times, but I look at the after the appearance.
I do. I will judge you. I think that's what we should say, because we cannot... Everybody has a tendency, because in some way and in some sort, we are going to judge angels. How much of... I am going to judge an angel, though, if I live up to God's standard fully. And I obey everything that he has called us into, the light that he has shown us with through his son, Jesus. And I see a log in your eye, and I have no log in my eye now. The Bible tells you if you have a speck in your eye, and you see... Yeah, but I have nothing in my eyes. We don't talk about that part. And I see, and I'm correcting you. I'm exhorting you now. Okay, it is not scripture. I like what Paul said. He said, correct all older men as in fathers, older women as in mothers, younger women as in sisters. I go to you as a sister in all purity. That's what he said. So I go to you in purity and I'm like, this does not align with Jesus' sayings and how Jesus expects us to live according to God's word, not according to our ideas now. And the first, if your first result is to take offense, then there's a lot for you to let go.
Yeah.
There's a lot of you that you need to let go of in your whole Christian walk. Because it's as simple as that to expose you where your heart is truly.
I have to learn how to take rebukes from anybody. And I mean anybody. You know the people I was staying with.
Yeah.
People from them.
Yeah.
Yeah, like one time my aunt said something to me and I was like,
mommy. Yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah.
But then, as I have been learning to do with people say things about me, like a character or something, I take it to the Lord. One of the rebukes, he goes, it wasn't spoken in truth. It wasn't spoken in love.
Yeah.
And it wasn't truth.
Mm.
So I disposed of it.
Mm.
Another one, he goes, it wasn't spoken in love, but it is true.
Yes.
So I usually take rebukes to him like that, because I know how fragile I can be. So I think it's him like, see this and see that. But these days, all our response to it is to quickly
sideline it.
If Jesus was, Jesus flips tables. I'm like,
and flogs people.
Worried.
Yeah. That I think we don't read that part of scripture where it says Jesus was a stern man.
Yeah. We see him as
those Jesus films.
Him. Pinterest.
Yeah. That you see me long hair.
Yeah, and then you and Jesus are like reading a book together.
And I think there's something my mentor says. He says, with the Lord, in growing with the Lord, you get to see, when you're a child, you get to see his lamb nature. When you are transcending now into an adult, you're maturing, you get to see his lion. Then the matured see the lion and the lamb, which is in God. Because we all need these stages.
Yeah.
A child now that is 2 years old does not know why his father would beat him when he wants to put his hand inside an electric unit. He sees it as hatred because he does not understand. So now a maturing person knows that if he goes there, the father is going to beat him. He has learned now. Now a immature person would not even want to go there because he has understood the two parts. The love of God is unto his own betterment, and the rebuke too is unto his own betterment too. So until we hold these two together and reconcile them, that God is a consuming fire, in as much as he comes in that still voice, he's all and in all, His majesty. He clothes Himself in majesty, and He's still simple, but not in a humanistic way. He can make everything He wants to make, but still, the gospel is simple. It's not, you don't have to study and rack your head about it. It is point blank. Jesus died, you hated God, Jesus came, He came to reconcile you with Him. That's just the beauty of it. And unless we know this gospel for ourselves, the fear of God, because it holds hands with the gospel brings the fear of God, it brings the knowledge of the fear of God, it brings it as in light. So unless we know it, we'd keep on letting it sideline. And I'll just say this and would end is, you who is listening, I want you to search yourself. I missed every word we have uttered. I missed the jokes and everything. Do you fear God? Like, ask yourself that question. And don't just ask yourself and let yourself answer. You ask the Holy Spirit to search your heart and reveal to you the places where you have lagged in the fear of God. And repent when He reveals it, please. Repent. Because this is not the time for us to be slacking back. It's a war. We're in warfare now.
Warfare. I think we need to stay constantly. It's something I forget that we're in warfare.
Mm.
Like, we're not all just here trying to be the sweet little people on the earth, and one day we're going to die. No, this is war.
This is war.
There are mandates that are handed down to us.
Mm.
They are literally batons that have been passed from generations to generations. Things that had to be continued. Things that Moses did not finish that you, Joshua, have to finish.
Yeah.
Things that, King David prepared. Now you have to build a temple. You're not just here.
Yes.
We're not just, and if we live with the intention, if our hearts are constantly seeking to please God, we'll find ways to.
Yes.
That's just what that's what we need.
Yes.
If it is truly, because sometimes when people ask or you go online, like they just, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Lady, I might as well. I'm not going to call names, but anyone listening may know her.
Yeah,
she's a tailor,
she's
a very popular tailor. Do you know her?
No, okay. I'm connecting dots in my head.
Then she holds the Washington.
I know her.
Okay,
yeah,
and oh my god, and Christians. Are there like in the and then you hear people say things like, can't you just be like, did you not see, like, just because you like the person doesn't it not mean that you should be blind? That's why God also does make idols out of things and out of people.
It
gets overwhelming sometimes to think about, you know. One time I asked the Lord, are we going to win in the end? But then I know that even from scriptures, Babylon will fall.
It would fall.
In a day.
Yeah.
That she had built.
Yes.
From.
Mm.
But Babylon makes a lot of.
Yes. Babylon is outward and it looks like a beautiful city.
When people go, you are slain in the meeting. I'm like, see, fruits.
Would show.
Fruits.
Show me your fruits.
What are your fruits?
Because that's what he's going to recount at the end.
People are, it's not only the Holy Spirit that slays people.
So are we talking about the demons that slay people too? Should we bring that onto the table too?
I mean, so people go, and this person is this. Well, I do that according to Luke's.
Yeah.
You can. I am man. It's not God.
Yeah.
God sees you how well we don't. Help us see what.
Yes. Yes.
And I think that there is everything intentional about modesty.
There is.
Before you leave, you check the mirror. You have to do that. You have to be. And I think when God sees, the thing is the Holy Spirit. He is the one that walks in us. Everything.
Yeah.
But when God sees that we even make that effort to stay that way, to not cause a brother to stumble, to not cause a sister to stumble, please Him.
Yes.
We please Him. It takes a lot of faith to be modest in our times.
Yes.
A lot of faith.
It takes a lot.
A lot of faith. There are those days when you just want some.
just
pause it. All we all be.
Well, you see that at the end of it is the things you do out of love that will recount, not because you are trying to please a sect of people.
Or even look like.
Yeah. Because at the end of it, it can be an idol. Modesty can be an idol. Yeah. When you're like, you're thinking of how people would perceive you in a godly sense, more than how God would see it. So it can consume you in it. All these things that we're talking about, in as much as they look godly, they can be idols.
Is that it's the point is that nothing else takes its place.
Yes.
I remember I spoke about this on one of my episodes on Where to Find Rest. About this whole makeup and non-makeup thing and stuff. And at a point, like when people come, they're like, oh my God, you're so naturally beautiful, this and that. And then in they immediately switch to on like this. And I'm like, that's not the standard.
You thought I was comparing, I was ready to do the base with paper. Yeah.
That is not the standard. That's not the standard. And at a point, I had this as well. I felt like, seeing this, like, already accomplished everything. Because, like, oh my God, because people come. The thing is, when people see difference, men are very quick to celebrate. But I think it's dangerous when you give yourself up to the accolades of men.
Yes.
Because one chapter, hail Jesus, he comes in the next chapter, Hosanna. He will crucify
yes.
him. Like, this switch was quick.
Yeah.
You cannot entrust yourself into the hands of men.
It's scary because
they're very unstable.
If you are motivated by their screams and their validations, you would need them to continue. Unless you are cleaned or it is Jesus that placed you on that pavement which you're walking upon and he's the one is keeping you, you cannot stand. I think most times that's what we just hold in the back of our minds. And it's sad, but I think what you said, Jesus wins at the end. Light, Babylon has to fall.
It
would fall, and it would fall hard, and everybody would see its shame. That's what is beautiful. So, again, for the person listening, the gospel links are going to be available in the description box so you can keep yourself accompanied. And Omar, thank you very much for joining us on our sofa today to discuss. You what?
I don't even know. I
understand.
I needed this.
I needed it too. So thank you. And for you listening, bye for now. And guard your heart with all diligence. Thank you.